My name is Harriet Tramer, and thanks for tuning in to Reaching for the Gold. I hope that you will join us every other Tuesday at this time when I host the show. My two guests today are both committed to helping elders find the companionship that will enrich their lives, but their commitment has taken very different paths. Dr. Patrick Arbour heads up the Institute on Aging Center for Elder Suicide Prevention, and Dr. Carol Osborne works as a veterinarian, doing her best to ensure that animals remain healthy as to provide support for elders. Dr. Carol, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Harriet. I'm delighted to join you.
Can animals actually keep somebody young? Do they really have that power? By young, I don't mean their birthdays are going to change, but young in the sense they're more vital. Do they really have that power?
Absolutely. People love their pets, and there have been many, many studies conducted that do offer tremendous health benefits that pets offer people, and there are confirmed studies that we'll discuss that do show that animals help to keep you young, and animals offer so many health benefits to everyone, from babies all the way to seniors, and they do add years to your life, in which case you could think of owning a pet as a wise investment. For example, according to a study done by the Minnesota Stroke Institute, they followed 4,000 cat owners for about 10 years, and they decided that owning a cat can dramatically reduce a person's chance of dying from heart disease. And specifically, people that own cats were 30% less likely to suffer from a heart attack. What else? What are some more benefits? Psychologists have found reason to believe that owning a dog or a cat helps to lower your blood pressure as well as your cholesterol. Pets help us to feel better about ourselves overall, and they also help us to deal with stress by reducing stress, because stress can lead to various illnesses. That's also a very big plus. When it comes specifically to the elderly, what I think is very interesting is that one study saw neuronal activity in seniors while they walked or interacted with their pet to be a very positive factor. And it turned out that walking with a dog gave senior citizens a boost in their parasympathetic nervous system activity, which is great because the parasympathetic nervous system is what helps us to become calm and rest our bodies. There are all kinds of other health benefits as well. The psychological benefits of pets can make a huge difference in people's lives, again, all the way from babies to seniors. Certainly, we know that pets provide us with love, and because you have a pet, it sort of forces you, in taking care of the pet, to have a structured routine, which gives us a sense of purpose, a reason to get up, and a reason to go to sleep. In addition, spouses of cancer patients were interviewed, and they felt that having a pet helped them cope with the cancer situation, you know, of their spouse.
Let's delve into this a bit more, bit deeper. If you have somebody who is 75 and they've never had a pet in their life, you know, I mean, barely even a goldfish, they're 75, they've never had a pet in their life, their health is good, could it still make that kind of difference, or does this have to be a lifelong matter?
It can absolutely make a difference. Here's a great idea. There's a woman, her name is Theodora. She's 94 years old, and she has been living for the past 2 years with her elderly cat, Cleo. She lives in a retirement community in Columbia, Missouri. Their friendship is a classic example of how humans and animals can become family and basically look out for each other. And although this woman, Theodora, has children and other residents that stop by to visit with her. She feels that Cleo is her very best friend, and they start the day and they finish the day together. In addition to which, the woman goes on to say that she sleeps on her own pillow right beside hers, and in the morning she pecks her cheeks to wake her up, and the woman loves it. She says she makes her feel good. She pets her, tells her that she loves her, and immediately gets up and goes to the kitchen to prepare breakfast for little Cleo. So, according to the employees at the retirement center where this woman lives, they feel that, the cat helps the woman to keep going, and vice versa. So the bottom line is research shows us that being able to take care of a pet improves our morale, it helps to validate us, and it encourages us to take care of ourselves. And this body of research, which was started at the University of Missouri's Research Center for Human-Animal Interaction. This body of research is going all across the country, leading the way for more retirement communities and universities, basically to roll out the welcome mat for pets and seniors.
Now, as you obviously know, our world is becoming more and more digital, more computerized, more robots. It's now only in experimental stages, but a lot has been said about robots being, I won't say human companions, that's maybe a little Disney-like, but if an older person maybe needs help in getting a meal, the robot can bring a meal to them, or the robot could put something in the microwave. Now, what I'm talking about is not something way, way out in the universe. This is done now on an experimental basis.
Right, that's exactly correct. And they have robotic pets that offer similar benefits as well. They have robotic dogs and they have robotic cats.
Okay, now, one discussion when people are talking about robotic helpers, I'll call them, is, all right, fine, but what kind of companionship is that? If, for example, somebody, I'm just going to say they're 80, and mentally they're doing pretty well, but they've had a stroke, and we're talking a bit, but not a whole lot into the future. They have a robotic helper who brings them meals, who helps them get out of bed, and what I'm talking about is not too far-fetched, who maybe even helps them with cleaning. Would it be of a benefit in that situation for them to also have a pet, or would it just confuse things or not yet known?
Yes. Pets, as long as there's someone else around, to help with the basic chores that the individual is not able to take care of themselves, yes, pets are a wonderful addition to an environment like that and can be helpful in many ways. For example, Capuchin monkeys are specifically trained to help many of these individuals with various disabilities. Capuchin monkeys are trained to help people, for example, get their keys, open and close doors. They can feed people.
Mm-hmm.
They can act as, if you will, a second set of hands. And for certain people with various physical impairments, they can be absolutely wonderful. They're specifically trained to help these individuals in need, be it if they're, paraplegics or wheelchair bound or unable to use their arms or their hands, for example. And that's a situation that's worked out very well for many individuals, regardless of age, that suffer from physical impairment. In addition to which, there are dogs that are being specifically trained to detect cancer. They can detect bladder cancer by smelling the urine. They can also sense and if you will, alert an individual that's going to have, if you will, an impending epileptic seizure, perhaps because they're a diabetic and their blood sugar's low, or perhaps because they have idiopathic epilepsy, which is having a seizure where they don't really know what causes it, and they're not sure when the seizure is going to occur. These dogs are able to detect the seizure and notify or nudge the person so that they can take their medication beforehand and not suffer with the seizure. So whether it's a robotic pet or a capuchin monkey or a pet specifically trained to help an individual with certain disabilities, again, there are many different kinds of pets. A goldfish swimming in a tank, an individual can just sit there and enjoy watching the fish swim. It's very relaxing. It's very calming. It lowers your blood pressure. It reduces stress. Again, all the way to a capuchin monkey or even a cat, understanding that cats require a far lesser degree of care and attention than a dog. So for an individual that's not able to perform all the chores necessary for responsible dog ownership, a cat is a very worthy choice. Much more low maintenance. They don't have to go outside on a daily basis for walks and whatnot, and can be maintained within the home with no problem at all. So again, the pet always has to be matched to the individual with respect to personality as well as need, and environment, age, state of mind, etc. But for the vast majority of senior citizens, pets are truly a lifesaver. Psychologically, they offer a meaningful relationship, which is very specific between the pet and the individual. So from improving the health of your heart to reducing stress, which just occurs because even petting a dog or a cat, it feels good. It's nice. It lowers your blood pressure. It also helps your body relax by releasing two hormones, one of which is cortisol, which reduces stress, the other being oxytocin, which also gives you a sense of well-being. In addition to which, pets are social magnets. They can help you connect with other people so that you don't feel isolated. You know, although somebody might not want to walk down the street and just walk up to a perfect stranger and start a conversation, if that individual had a dog with them, that's an acceptable interaction that otherwise might not be possible. Even people in wheelchairs, on an extensive interview, they say that other people make eye contact with them more often and ask if they can be of help when they see an individual in a wheelchair with their dog.
Okay, that's all wonderful, but let's look at this a bit. You have somebody will say they're 80 when they get a dog. Now, I can't tell you exactly how many years it is. I've heard up to 7. I don't know. Dogs age faster than people. They're 80.
They do.
Okay, by the time they're 85, that dog may have aged another 15 years. That dog needs care, and the thing nobody wants to talk about is veterinary care can be very expensive. Now, I mean, I'm not knocking veterinarians. They're doing a job. That's not the point. What happens if this animal needs a few thousand dollars worth of care or goes blind? Or is going to go blind if they don't have an operation for $1,000, and the human owner cannot afford it. What happens then?
Okay, that's a very good question. Certainly, there are many conditions whereby an elderly individual, for whatever reason, may not be able to keep their pet. Be it cost, be it health, et cetera. When it comes to cost, there are many programs out there to help people deal with cost issues, you know, for a particular pet. There's an organization, and it's called bestfriends.org, and people can log on to that online. They offer all kinds of tips and options and programs to help people that, for example, might not be able to take a pet with them when they go into a certain retirement type of a center, as well as helping people with cost options. For example, if you have to give up your pet, one of the things that you want to do is you want to have a proactive strategy in place, kind of a succession plan, if you will. And in order to prepare, let's say, this specific animal for adoption, first of all, the animal should be spayed or neutered. And if an individual was looking for a low-cost spay-neuter clinic in their area, they can simply go to spay.usa, which is an online website, and it goes from state to state. As far as local shelters, they may be able to help adopt out pets, and they're also able, in many cases, to offer other assistance. Again, many offer low-cost spay-neuter clinic. Many offer obedience and training classes. They also have bulletin boards where people post information about other animals available for adoption. Advertising widely is a very, very good thing to do. Photos and descriptions help quite a bit. Taking a couple of good quality digital photos of your pet, make sure your pet is well-groomed, that he or she is looking at the camera and can be clearly seen in the photos. And then you also want to be able to compose a little ad that talks about your pet's personality, his or her habits, and a few of the things that make this particular pet so special. You can go to a website called petbond.com. They offer you a completely free digital system where you can make a flyer. You can add your text, combine it with a photo of your pet. There's some simple instructions that you can follow to make a really nice, very attractive flyer. You can save it as a digital flyer, attach it to emails and use it to post on social media sites. You can also print out hard copies and post them around town throughout the community, health food stores, supermarkets, libraries, churches, health clubs, as well as your veterinarian's office, and even sporting goods stores are just a few examples of places where you can post things like that. Local rescue groups and shelters, go to petfinder.com. All kinds of information there. And again, there are statewide listings of rescue groups. Just go to worldanimal.net. If you're, we talked about just general adoption sites. Petfinder.com, I think, is excellent. And remember that Facebook is always a great resource. If it's a specific breed or breed mix, and you want to be sure that the dog is getting adopted to people that favor that breed, look for a breed rescue group online. Just enter the name of the breed-rescue, and a bunch of listings will come up. And even if certain rescue groups can't take your pet, many will offer courtesy postings or even allow you to bring the animal to one of their adoption events. Word of mouth, community contacts are always good, and your church is always a wonderful resource. And when it comes, again, to looking for financial assistance, my tip is check out bestfriends.org because they've got wonderful, wonderful resources available for everyone, people of all ages, to get financial assistance, as well as what to do if you're no longer able to care for, for that particular pet.
Okay,
but there is certain people think that euthanizing the pet might be the best thing to do because the pet is so extremely bonded to the individual. I personally do not feel that is the only option or really even a good option. Certainly there are many people out there that would, love to share their home with a little furry friend.
Okay, let's talk about being proactive. I understand what you're saying, and I'm sure what these groups are doing is wonderful. let's be a little proactive. If I'm, which I am not, 75, I want to buy a pet, what can I look for that might give me an indication, okay, this animal is healthy. There are no guarantees, but this animal is in decent health, either because that's the inheritance of their breed or that's just this particular animal, and I have a good chance of not encountering of some severe health problems. Is that possible? Can I take it to a vet and get that kind of information?
Absolutely. Again, choosing a pet is a very individual decision that should, in fact, be made by the individual looking for the pet, as opposed to gifting pets, which I do not recommend. You want to choose a pet based primarily on personality. You want the personality of the pet to sort of match the personality of the person. When it comes to senior citizens considering pets, a couple of simple things to remember. One, yes, you want a healthy pet, and in many cases a puppy or a kitten is not the best choice because their needs are so tremendous. But remember, there are many adult and senior-aged animals that are already house-trained, they're already spayed and neutered, they've got all their vaccines and shots, and all they really need is a warm, loving home. So, again, I think that that's probably a better choice for many seniors than trying to chase after a puppy or a kitten. Regardless of where you find your pet, online at a local shelter, even through a friend, you always want to take that pet to a veterinarian. I recommend within the first 48 hours. And by doing that, your veterinarian can take a look at that particular pet and let you know exactly as you said, Harriet, that's a pet that seems to be in good health and can be a wonderful companion for this individual and doesn't seem that all these medical crises will occur at once and put that individual under financial stress that they're not looking for and that they definitely don't need. Remember pet size and remember hair coat. The bigger the pet is, the more it costs in every way, shape, and form, from the food you feed it to grooming it and caring for it. So the bigger they are, the more they cost. Let's talk about hair. The longer and the fancier the hair coat of a particular animal is, again, the more care is required and the more money is going to be required to care for that pet. When you get pets like poodles, collies, dogs with big, thick hair coats, or dogs that just really have to be groomed at 6 to 8 week intervals, my suggestion would be avoid those pets. Find, you know, get a simple pet, Boston Terriers, pugs. Those are wonderful pets for anyone, but in particular, they're very low maintenance, very easy keepers. They don't have a hair coat that you have to worry about. They're small, and they have wonderful personalities. They're not nippy. They mostly just want to be loved. They want to snuggle up with you, and they want to love you, and they want you to love them. So learning about the breeds, going to, if it's possible, to some pet shows or to different pet events helps an individual to familiarize themselves not only with the purebreds, but also with all the mixed breed dogs available out there, again, in need of big homes. So you want to, for a senior citizen looking to share their life with a wonderful fuzzy friend, but keep it at a low maintenance. Smaller sized pets with minimal hair coat and warm, loving personalities would be the very first peg on my list.
Dr. Carroll, thank you very much for being on the show. You certainly have taught me something, and I'm sure you've taught our listeners a great deal. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Harriet. It was my pleasure, and I wish you and your pet-loving listeners a wonderful day.